Saraswati Deva Gauravani Prasadane Nirvasesha Sundarvani Pasatadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Gopakrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Krishna Bhagavatam Chapter 10 Verse 7 Atapuna Asva Sibikayam Vishwamagatayam Prakupita Uvacha Raghuguna Kim Idam Hare Tvam Jivan Mrito Mam Kadarkritcha Bhatra Sasana Aticharasi Pratamasya Te Karomi Chikitsam Dandapane Iva Janataya Yata Prakritim Svam Bhajas Yasya Yiti. Translation: therefore, when the king saw that his palanquin was still being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal, what are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master? You are disregarding me and are not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." Taking himself a king, King Raghuguna was in the bodily conception, was influenced by material nature's mode of passion, ignorance, due to madness, chastised Jadabhara with uncalled for and contradictory words. Jadabhara was the topmost devotee in the Your most abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although considering yourself very learned, the king did not know about the position of an advanced devotee situated in devotional service, nor did he know his characteristics. Jada Bharat was a residence of the Supreme Personality of God. He always carried the form of the Lord within his heart. He was a dear friend of all living beings, and he did not entertain any bodily conception. He therefore smiled and spoke the following words. Purport: the distinction between a person in the bodily conception and a person beyond the bodily conception is presented in this verse. In the bodily conception, King Rahugan considered himself the king and chastised Jada Bharat in so many unwanted ways. Being self-realized, Jada Bharat, who was fully situated in the transcendental platform, didn't all become angry. Instead, he smiled and began to deliver his teachings to King Rahugana. A highly advanced Vaishnava devotee is a friend to all living entities and consequently is a friend to his enemies also. In fact, he does not consider anyone to be his enemy. Suhrada Sarvadehi Nam. Sometimes a Vaishnava becomes superficially angry at a non-devotee, but this is good for the non-devotee. We have several examples of this in Vedic literature. Once Narada became angry with the two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, and he chastised them by turning them into trees. The result was that later they were liberated by Lord Krishna. The devotee is situated on the absolute platform. When he's angry or pleased, there's no difference, for in either case he bestows his benediction. The great Brahmana Jada Bharat said, "My dear king and hero, whatever you have spoken sarcastically is certainly true." Actually, these are not simply words of chastisement, for the body is the carrier. The load carried by the body does not belong to me, for I am the spirit soul. There is no contradiction in your statements, because I am different from the body. I am not the carrier of the palanquin, the body is the carrier. Certainly, as you have hinted, I have not labored carrying the palanquin, for I am detached from the body. You have said, "I am not stout and strong," and these words are befitting a person who does not know the distinction between the body and the soul. The body may be fat or thin, but no learned man would say such things of the spirit soul. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, I am neither fat nor skinny. Therefore, you are correct when you say I am not very stout. Also, if the object of this journey and the path leading there were mine, there would be many troubles for me. But because they relate not to me but to my body, there is no trouble at all. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita is stated that one who is advanced in spiritual knowledge is not disturbed by the pain and pleasures of the material body. The material body is completely separate from the spirit soul, and the pains and pleasures of the body are superfluous. Practice in austerity and penance is meant for understanding the distinction between the body and the soul and how the soul can be unaffected by the pleasures of the body. Jada Bharat was actually situated on the platform of self-realization. He was completely aloof from the bodily conception. Therefore, he immediately took this position to convince the king that whatever contrary things the king had said about his body did not actually apply to him as a spirit soul. Fatness, thinness, bodily and mental distress, thirst, hunger, fear, disagreement, desires for material happiness, old age, sleep, attachment for material possessions, anger, lamentation, illusion, identification of the body with the self are all transformations of the material covering of the spirit soul. A person absorbed in the material bodily conception is affected by these things, but I am free from bodily conception. Consequently, I am neither fat nor skinny nor anything else you have mentioned. Purportion Artam Das Thakura Sangdehi Smriti Nahi Jar Samsarabandha Kahantar. One who is spiritually advanced has no connection with the body, with the body actions and reactions. When one comes to understand he is not the body and therefore is neither fat nor skinny, one attains the topmost form of spiritual realization. When one is not spiritually realized, the bodily conception entangles one in the material world. At the present moment, all human societies are living under the bodily conception. Therefore, the Shastras people in this age are referred to as the Padapasu, two-legged animals. No one can be happy in a civilization captured by such animals. Our Krishna consciousness movement is trying to raise fallen human society to the status of spiritual understanding. It is not possible for everyone to become immediately self-realized like Jada Bharat. However, as stated in Bhagavatam, Nasta Paresha Bhadresha Bhagavata Sevaya, by spreading the Bhagavata principles, we can raise human society to the platform of perfection. And one is not affected by the bodily conceptions, one can advance to the Lord's devotional service. The more we advance our freedom from bodily conception, the more we are fixed in devotional service, and the more we are happy and peaceful.
In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya said that those who are too materially affected continue to live bodily conception. Such persons are concerned with different bodily symptoms, whereas one free from bodily conceptions lives without the body, even in the material condition. So this begins the teachings of Jadvara to the king. So as I mentioned the other day, Jadvara didn't speak to anybody, but that he chose to speak at this particular time to King Rahugana. In spite of the fact that King Rahugana actually insulted him by using sarcastic words, so he actually used contradictory words such as, you are not strong and you are very old, etc. When actually Jadvara was the opposite. He was very strong and very healthy. He was not skinny or fat, and he was not old. So he was fully capable of carrying the palanquin. So Jadvara took this opportunity to defeat the words of or the intention of the words of the king by saying, yes, what you say actually is true. So it's not sarcasm at all, because I'm not fat or thin or old or young or anything. I'm simply the spirit soul. Of course, he does not say that directly. He just says, I'm none of this. I'm not any of these things, because this is all to do with the body. A body may be fat or thin or in between. A body may be old or young, etc. A body carries the palanquin. So, actually, I don't do anything, because I am a spirit soul. And simply the body is carrying on all these activities. So this is similar to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that you shouldn't lament for anybody, because nobody is killed, only the bodies are living or dying or whatever. So in one sense, yes, this is true. The soul never dies, and the soul is completely separate from everything. But from practical considerations, we also know that the soul and the body are intimately connected during one's life. So we can't say they're completely separate, and one's got nothing to do with the other. Obviously, they are connected. So how are they connected? They are connected because of ignorance. They are connected because of ahankara. They are connected because of our attachment to material enjoyment. This is why the connection exists. So is it a good connection or a bad connection? For people in the material, it was a good connection, because they want to enjoy in the material world. So therefore, they identify with the body, and they do all sorts of activities to get their enjoyment. From the absolute point of view, it is false, because we are not the body at all. We shouldn't identify with the body. And all the activities of the body and all the enjoyment of the body has got nothing to do with the soul. It's all material, whereas the soul is spiritual. But because of that identity with the body, we think we have enjoyment in the material world. And so all of this is a false conception. The king was under this conception. He was thinking in terms of bodies, in terms of his body, and in terms of Jadavara's body. You are not carrying the palanquin properly, and therefore you deserve to get punished. So that was his idea. So Jadavara said, yes, this is the material body that we're concerned with here. Why did King Rahugana get angry? Because he wanted to have a nice ride in his palanquin, that's why. And Jadavara was avoiding the ants, so therefore there was disturbance. And therefore the king got angry. So his original cause of his anger was, again, his desire for some material comforts, a nice smooth ride. So he is identifying this smooth ride with something enjoyable, and this, of course, has got something to do with the material body, again. And when he became angry at Jadvara, because he seemed to be the cause of all of this. Of course, he didn't understand why Jadvara was acting in the way he was doing, but he was obviously not walking properly, so he became angry at him and he condemned him. So, whereas Jadvara identified with his body and therefore was the cause, he caused his anger, etc., to manifest, Japarov did not identify with his body at all. He did not care for the words of the king. He was not insulted by them at all. Therefore, he gave a spiritual answer. If he were insulted, he would actually not speak to him at all. But he was not insulted at all, but rather he simply revealed the truth to the king. And he began speaking his message. So he was fixed in spiritual conception, not bodily conception. And therefore he was not disturbed and did not come down to the bodily platform in spite of the words of the king. Now he was fully justified in one sense in walking the way he did, because he was trying to avoid the ants, etc. But he didn't try to defend himself in that way. Rather, he tried to give some spiritual benefit to Uruguna. So that is the compassion of devotee. The devotee is not concerned with his body or other people's body, but he's concerned with the soul within the body and the advancement of that soul. So his first instructions here are elementary, just as Krishna gives instructions to Arjuna and Bhagavad Gita: you're not the body, you're the soul. But that's the same point that is made here, a very simple point, that we are not the material body, we're something else. Unfortunately, people in the material world cannot understand this. It's a simple point, but difficult for many people to understand, because they only think in terms of material body at all times. So that is the only thing they think exists. They have no idea about spirit soul at all. So this conception here that the body is different from the real self and the real soul, this is quite extraordinary. It's an extraordinary fact for most people in the material world, including the king. Of course, we would have expected the king to have some nice spiritual education, since he was within the Varna Ashram system, but unfortunately, looks like he didn't understand too much. So therefore, he was bewildered by these words of Jatvarat, when he said, you're not the body, you're actually something else. I'm not my body, but I am also something else, etc. So for the devotees, of course, this is straightforward. We understand the distinction between body and soul. Of course, more important than that is the other knowledge, vijnana, knowledge of Supreme Lord. That is more important for the devotee. But as we see in the case of Krishna also, he began preaching on the level of you're not the body or the soul. So this type of knowledge is very basic knowledge that can be distributed to everyone. Then when we get to God, then the person has to be a little more intelligent to accept that. So often we'll see that the devotees may start preaching on this level of you're not the material body or the something completely different, you're the spirit soul. In order to make a first step in instructing them in spiritual life. So this is what Jatvara does here. He's simply negating all of the words of the king by saying that actually your words are meaningless, because you're identifying everything with body. You're trying to insult me by saying words about my body and whatever, but actually you are not a body, and I'm not a body anyway, so all these words are useless. So that, of course, is the spiritual conception from the spiritual point of view. From the practical point of view of the material, yes, we are associated with this body, and we have to use the body also for either material purposes or spiritual purposes. So a connection is definitely there, but one who is on the spiritual level understands that the identity is quite different. We shouldn't identify with the material body at all, in spite of the fact that we're related to it.
Here we can see, behaviorally, Jal Bharat is completely covered, he is not visible as a devotee. and King Ravana would have perceived him as another Shudra who is carrying the palanquin. Probably this kind of behavior for a king towards a Shudra is appropriate.
Yeah. It is not. As for one who is a king, yes, he has a right to chastise those who are on a lower level. So, unfortunately, he didn't see the true nature of Janmara.
Mm-hmm.
So, in one sense, it wasn't his too much of his fault anyway.
If one king is in the Rajaguna, then how will he advance?
Well, a real king is not simply Rajaguna. He is a mixture of Rajaguna and Satvaguna.
But he has to behave like that.
Yeah, but he's in Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, so therefore the Sattvaguna portion allows him to take advice from Brahmanas, to understand the meaning of scripture, etc. If he's only Rajaguna, he cannot be a king, because his senses will overtake him and he'll simply exploit everybody. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So that's the nature of a king. He has to control others. But the control is balanced by the Sattva. If it's not, then definitely you simply follow the Rajaguna and exploit everybody and not be a good king.
And that's why they take the Vanaprastha.
Hmm?
And that's why, that's the reason why they take Vanaprastha.
Why? Because they have sattva.
Yes.
Well, yeah, if they're simply Rajaguna, it's very difficult for them to advance beyond that. If they have some sattva, then they can actually begin to renounce at a certain stage. If they are only Rajaguna, they'll never give up the kingdom. They'll never want to renounce anything. If they have some sattva, then yes, they'll understand that ultimately material things are not very conducive for advancement, and therefore they'll give up and retire.
So, we can say, is that part of the Vanashram system for Kshatriyas to take Vanaprastha?
Yeah.
Is there any example that Vaishya took Vanaprastha like that?
Huh?
Vaishya?
Vaishyas probably can also. I don't know any scriptural thing against it. None of them can take sannyas, though, only the Brahmins. Sudras, of course, don't even get educated, so they don't do anything. They only take sannyas.
Maharaj, we see that Jada Bharata had a very affectionate father and so many others, and he met those decorates. But finally, he started instructing. He only instructed the king actually.
Hmm.
So although they were, I mean, is it just, we can say that when we say mercy devotees is causeless, so this is an example of that?
Yeah. In spite of the fact that he was insulted. He was insulted by the king also, but still he gave instruction. And so that is an example of causeless mercy. When he did, well, better he did to his father, because his father at least had affection for him, but he didn't. But when the king insulted him, then he gave instructions. So it's an example of the king didn't deserve anything, but he gave instructions anyway. So that was his causeless mercy. But we see the king benefited from it. He actually understood the instructions and got advancement. So there was no misjudging on the part of Jada Bharata also.
Normally, those who are pure devotees, they never send their sadhana, like this. Those who are pure devotees. Like he was accepting here, he was thinking, he was telling about himself here, that yes, I am like this. So what he was telling here? Whatever, he was telling about himself, he was explaining about himself to the king.
Yeah, I'm not fat, I'm not thin,
yeah.
I'm not the material body.
Normally those who are pure, they never say like this about themselves.
Well, no, he's only refuting the king's words. He's not talking about himself. He says, you said I'm not fat or thin or whatever, I'm an old man. And he says, no. Well, yeah, it's true in one sense, all your words, because actually that all has something to do with the body, but I'm not anything like that. I'm actually beyond the body. So if you say I'm not strong or whatever, yeah, I'm not strong, because those are material designations. I'm actually the Atma. He's not particularly talking about himself, but he's talking about people in general. Nobody is their material body. So material bodies are different colors or different weights or different heights, but the Atma has got no dimension. So he's not praising himself or anything like that. He's just making a general statement.
The body of the pure devotee is spiritual and it's not material.
Though it apparently looks material, the body of the pure devotee is not material like a normal being, it's a spiritual. Whereas it looks apparently material, how do we understand?
Well, it depends. If one's a Nitya Siddha, then it is a purely spiritual body. If he's a Sadhana Siddha, then it is not actually a spiritual body. Internally, he has a spiritual body, but the external body is like everybody else. He may be a gopi or a cowherd boy or a Vishnu Dutta internally, but externally he's not. He's got a body like everybody else, is subject to the birth and death. So, of course, that body is spiritualized in the sense that it gets no karma and doesn't accrue karma, etc. So it is spiritualized, but it's not spiritual, not a spiritual body, because it's made of material elements. And then at a certain time he gives that body up, and then only a spiritual body is left. Well, he was a special case, which his material body became a spiritual body at a certain point when he left his body. But other cases aren't like that. They may develop four hands or whatever. And
Yeah, I've got a good one.